This is The Spark. I'm Martha Woodruff. And the following is the story of how the music venue Rapunzel's came to open and flourish in the not very big town of Lovingston. After Sarah Taylor, who has very long hair, graduated from Hollins in 1996, she immediately skedaddled right back to the Nelson County farm where she'd grown up, planning to be a third-generation horse trainer. But by 2001, it had become clear to Sarah that in order to make a living with horses, she'd have to leave. And not only that, but she'd begun to question whether training horses was really what she wanted to do with her life.
One of the primary ways that you can make money in the horse business is by buying a young horse or taking on a young horse that belongs to someone else, packing as much training into it as you can in a short period of time, and then selling it. I had something happen with one of my young horses one day. We were working on a particular training issue. I was trying to get him to move away from my leg to yield, move away from pressure, and wound up getting frustrated and getting off to try to get him to move away from my hands on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And he was pushing back and pushing back, and I lost my temper. And sometimes with horses, you know, they are used to kicking each other, biting each other in the pasture to get their point across. So if you smack a horse with your hand or even hit them with a riding crop on their flank, you're not going to do a fraction of the damage that they do to each other when they're disciplining each other. At the point where I lost my temper, I had been using a crop to whack him on the flank and try to get him to get out of my space and stop pushing back into me. And I looked at this horse, this three-year-old horse, and I looked at the look in his eyes. And I got a little window into what my life would be like if I continued down this path full time of this boot camp training with these horses. And
what'd you see in the horse's eye?
He was looking at me. He had shut down mentally, for one thing. Mm-hmm. And he was looking at me like he had no idea why he was in this position, what I wanted from him. He had given up in terms of trying to understand. He had just said, "I'm done." I don't think I consciously made the decision at that point, but it was a formative moment, a catalyst for realizing that I didn't want to spend the rest of my life pushing these animals on these deadlines and having to resort to these kinds of interactions with them in order to get a point across. Sometimes you have to, but it shouldn't be for money, you know? Safety, that's another issue, but not money, you know? My family owns the packing shed, this big old, it's a renovated packing shed. It used to be used for packing apples and tomatoes and peaches in Lovingston.
Right on
29. It's a big red barn. You can see it from the highway. They had turned it into sort of a mini mall for a long time. Mm-hmm. One of the wonderful things about this building is it has no bearing walls anywhere inside the building. It's nothing but these tree trunk-sized wooden beams that hold the whole thing up. So over the course of the 25 years or so that they have owned that building, it has taken a lot of different shapes on the inside, depending on what the needs were. The county's only video store for a long time was in that space. Read It Again, Sam, which is now in the downtown mall in Charlottesville, started out upstairs in the packing shed. My father is a woodworker, a cabinet maker, and custom furniture builder. He's had a wood shop there for as long as I can remember. And in recent years, my brother Gabriel is building a recording studio in the upstairs. So this building has always provided housing for whatever creative venture anyone in our family has decided to pursue.
It was a good day for the Taylor family when you bought it, wasn't it?
I think so, yes, yes. So going back to that crossroads moment, having grown up in Nelson County, it seemed to me that there was a hunger there for something to go out and do. At the time that Rapunzel started, there were no other coffee shops. There were no other music venues. There was not a lot, you know, other than what few restaurants were in the county at the time.
And the Raritan Hall.
Yeah, yeah. There wasn't the casual go hang out, meet up with your friends sort of place. I had really fallen in love with the whole coffee shop atmosphere when I was in college. And I wanted to create a little piece of that.
Now, when you say the coffee shop atmosphere,
mm-hmm.
I know what I mean by that. But what do you mean by that?
Well, there's the entire sensory experience of it, the smells and the sights and the sounds. And there seemed to me to be a certain intellectual component to it as well that I wanted to try to capture. People getting together over a cup of coffee and the depth of conversation that you can have in that environment. It is its own kind of culture in a lot of ways. I was also thinking, you know, hey, if I do this, maybe I'll have time to sit down and write every now and again. That never happened. The space that Rapunzel's occupies in the packing shed had just become available. So we kind of had a brainstorming session about how would this work? Are we all willing to put in everything that it's going to take to make this work?
What was the original concept?
The original concept was used bookstore with a coffee bar, kind of like a country version of Barnes & Noble. And I was thinking, we'll have live music every once in a while. You know, it'll be a special event. I'll still be able to go to horse shows on the weekends. You know, I had this, I had a pretty strong vision of how it would be. And in so many ways, it has fulfilled that vision. And in so many ways, it has
taken over your life,
taken over my life, and developed its own identity. I had never, ever, ever touched an espresso machine. I had never worked in a coffee shop. I just sort of invented the whole thing with the help of the internet and my vision of what I wanted it to be like.
Where'd you find your books?
You would be amazed at how many people are trying to get rid of used books. That and couches, which is part of what has created what Rapunzel's looks like. You know, you put out a call for books and couches, and you will have truckloads show up.
When you were redesigning your space, did you do the plan?
I did. Some of it was dictated by the shape of the space that we were working with. But it was the kind of thing where the first day that I walked in there to look at it, not as the old video store, not as the storage room that it had been used for a long time, but to look at it and really try to see it as a coffee shop, it was immediately obvious where everything had to be. It's hard to describe how an empty space can tell you where its divided spaces are going to be. But it was obvious walking in there that this is where the bar has to be. This is where the kitchen has to be. This is where the bookshelves have to be. And the building is actually on two levels, which you can't really see from the front of it. And so there was a whole room at the backside of this space with nothing but a piece of drywall between it and the coffee shop space that once that drywall came down, it became a stage because it was right on that elevated portion of the building. So all we had to do was knock down this piece of drywall, and we had a 14 by 16 foot stage with a backstage entrance, and it was already there.
Now, what about acoustics? Did you worry about that at this point?
Well, as far as the acoustics go, we're getting into a science element of this that has not been my focus.
Okay. There's a disclaimer here.
Yes. The space is designed in such a way that it has, it's broken up. There aren't a lot of flat surfaces for sound to bounce off of. And I filled the whole thing up with carpets and couches. So there was a certain acoustic quality that worked for us rather than against us because of the nature of the room.
I have an inkling, but where did the name Rapunzel come from?
I had kicked around a couple of different names for the shop, you know, Lovingston Coffee and Books, or just, you know, a bunch of generic sounding things. And I wanted to try to come up with something that would be in some way distinctive or in some way memorable as a business name. And because of my hair, you know, Rapunzel has never been a nickname exactly, but it has been the first thing that people say when they see me. Rapunzel, Rapunzel, let down your hair. So that, well, you
why
know,
don't
we
you
try.
Describe your hair? Has it ever been cut?
No.
It is down to your...
Down to my hips.
You sit on it.
Yeah.
And it is a lovely golden color.
Yeah.
My theory was right.
Yes.
About where the name of your pencil came from.
Yeah. And, you know, it becomes very obvious. I think, you know, people walk in the coffee shop and like, you must be Rapunzel.
Okay, you're open in 2001. Mm-hmm. It's now 2012. You're still doing it.
Mm-hmm.
What's changed?
Oh, gosh. There's a lot, several parts to answering that, I think. One of the biggest changes is that the shop has, you know, you have this vision, you breathe life into that vision, and you set it out into the world to grow on its own. And you don't always have complete and total control over how this living thing that you've created matures or what it matures into. And so one of the biggest changes is that what started out as a coffee shop and bookstore has matured into a performing arts venue and a nightclub as an identity. We still have the bookstore and the coffee bar, but we're selling beer now. We sell a lot more beer than we sell coffee. The books have become background to, you know, part of the atmosphere. Those two things have ceased to be the reason why people come there. You know, whenever I'm struggling with it, because there's never been a lot of money associated with this place. You know, we're all volunteering our time. We do this quite literally as a community service. The shop makes enough to pay its own bills and to keep itself afloat, but it doesn't pay any of us. So we do this because we love it, and we do it because of everyone else who loves it. And whenever I'm struggling with something, you know, coming in on a day when I'm exhausted from whatever else I've been doing and, you know, really working, really working hard to get through the show or get through the night, I'll go across the shop and up these two little steps to the kitchen and stop and look back at the people that are all, everyone's eyes are on the stage. And looking at it from that perspective instead of from behind the bar is one thing I can do that is guaranteed to remind me of why we do this every weekend, year-round. It was a moment that struck me the first couple of nights that we had music and were open, going up to the kitchen, stopping and looking back at this sea of faces, and everybody smiling and everybody just, you know, the attention so raptly focused on the stage or whatever was happening there. And it's really a treat for me 10 years later to be able to go up those two steps and turn and look back and see that same look on people's faces.
You can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant.
Excepting Alice.
You can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant. So walk right in, it's around the back, just a half a mile from the railroad track. You can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant.
Da 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 da. At Alice's restaurant.
After break, we'll dive into the Spark Archives for a return visit with Harrisonburg's mobile bicycle repairman, Ben Wise.